God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministry. And here now is Brother Jerry.
For the next 2 days, Dr. Larry Spargimino visits with Gary Miller about his new book, Hell, God's Prison. Brother Gary's a Bible teacher at Grace Harbor Church in the Chicagoland area. He learned about how to rightly divide the word from godly men, and that comes through in his books. Brother Larry, please tell us about Brother Gary's newest book.
Thank you, Jerry, and greetings to all in our listening audience. It's really a comprehensive treatment of this issue, and in a few minutes we'll get our announcer to the mic to tell you how you can get your own copy of Hell, God's Prison. And I must say, as I've been reading the book and just looking it over and setting the scriptures, hell is a frightening place, and I'm reminded once again of our obligation to the Lord and to those around us to tell people about the only way to escape, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning death. My, what a marvelous, marvelous redemption we have to deliver us from that awful place and to help us to live in this world while we're here, to give us a purpose and direction and meaning in life, but especially to tell others about the only way of escape from eternal damnation. What an awful place that is. But friends, there is an escape through a person, and he requires your faith in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how glad I am to be a minister of the gospel to proclaim that good news. And it is really good news. Just think of what it would be like. It's not a place where people will spend a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then after some kind of maybe a change in administration, they'll be let out. No, it's eternal. So friends, listen very carefully, and I know this will motivate you to be good witnesses, to be faithful in witnessing, and also if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will see that you are in great, great danger and great peril. Today, right now, is the time to put your faith in him. Gary, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Larry, for having me on to talk about this subject of hell. I appreciate it.
Well, you can see that long diatribe that I just gave, that came from my heart, because your book has really, once again, quickened me and to realize what an awful place hell is. We like to speak about the love of God. Of course, that's a precious truth. But there's another side to what we have in the scripture. There's so many scriptures about hell. So tell us, Gary, why you wrote a book on hell.
Well, you know, I realize that, you know, hell is a subject that not many churches teach about anymore, unfortunately. They seem to shy away from it, the damnation and the wrath of God that is awaiting those who die in unbelief. But the scriptures have a lot to say about hell, from its location to those who go there and what happens in hell. And it's the purpose of this book to bring these truths out in detail, what God says will happen after death. You see, my book's not based on, you know, human wisdom or fables or stories that have been passed down. It's based upon the authority of the perfectly preserved words of God. And in the scriptures, in Titus 1:2, it tells us, which God that cannot lie. You know, everything God says is true, and everything he says about death and what takes place after death is true. So I wrote this book to help believers have a sound biblical understanding of hell. See, Larry, most men mock God. They don't believe him. They don't believe what he says will come to place, but we know it will. And the truths in this book are to detail out what God will do the moment one dies for all of eternity. And as you were saying, it's quite terrifying for the unsaved.
I know the Bible is a wonderful, wonderful book. It's actually the revelation of God. And, you know, we have so many proofs and just indicators from archaeology, from science, from astronomy, that the Bible is true, it's accurate. So, you know, what I do when someone says, hey, Larry, do you believe the Bible? I'm kind of reluctant to say believe, because they think it's some kind of a wild leap into the dark. It's not. It's not a leap into absurdity. The Bible stands as the inerrant, infallible Word of God. So when somebody asks me, do you believe the Bible? I say, how can I do anything but believe the Bible? The evidence is overwhelming.
And you're exactly right.
And this is really where it's so important, because we're not talking about some study or some book. We're talking about eternal destiny, either heaven or hell. In fact, I love what you have in chapter 1, that hell is a literal place. It's not, you know, some people think, well, man, I had a bad day at the office today. It's like a living hell, or I'm not getting along with my teenage daughter. She's just ringing me through hell. It's nothing like that. It's real. So, it's a powerful, powerful teaching in God's Word. But tell us, where did the title hell, God's prison, come from?
Well, you're exactly right, Larry. Hell is a real place. It's not a figment of imagination. It's not a fable or something like that. It's a real place that God designed and built. And the title of my book is called Hell, God's Prison. And in studying the scriptures about hell, God calls hell by a number of different names. In Isaiah 14, he calls it the pit. But in Isaiah 42, verse 7, he calls it a prison. In talking about Jesus Christ and what he was going to accomplish when he went to hell, and how he, some of the activities there, he says, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And in that verse, we see God call hell a prison or a prison house. And when I saw that, it helped open my eyes to the understanding of what God was doing when he created hell. And he created it as a prison to house the souls of men. And we know what a prison is, Larry. You incarcerate someone in prison so they can't get out, so you can hold them there. And that's how God designed hell. He built it as a prison, as his prison, to hold the souls of men.
I love the scripture, Matthew 25:41, where the Lord says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now, he says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. And I've often, you know, really had my heart wrenched by that scripture, because he didn't prepare it for people. So, you know, if someone doesn't accept Christ and goes there, they're really intruders. And yet it's very real. It's been prepared for the devil and his angels. Yet, for those who do not believe, there is that awful, awful place. And so that gets to our next question. Describe hell a little bit.
Well, you know, when people build prisons, you often put them in a very remote place, so that way it deters the threat of someone trying to escape. And God tells us the location of hell, and he put it in the most remote place of the earth, and that's in the very center of the earth. And I show in the book the scriptures that detail the location of hell, and how God placed it in the center of the earth. And if one could dig down to the center, you'd find the structure of hell. And something interesting that Job says about hell is Job talks about the bars around the pit. In Job 17:16, it says that them that go down to the bars of the pit. And Jonah also describes seeing these bars that surround hell. And we can take from that God has encased hell in bars, much like a prison. If you've ever experienced driving out to a prison, the first thing you notice are the bars or the fencing that surrounds it. And hell has fencing that surrounds it so that the souls that are incarcerated there cannot get out. Hell also has a main gate or a mouth that opens and closes as the souls are deposited into it. And that's a quite frightening experience. In Psalms, it talks about those going into the pit screaming, you know, don't let the mouth shut upon me, as they see the mouth open to receive them. It's a very frightening place. In hell, there's a side of it that's called the torment side, and that side is filled with the flames and the wrath of God is being met out upon those souls suffering in the torment side. And something interesting, God talks in the scripture about the sides of hell, how as one were to travel down into the depths of hell, you'll see chambers or rooms cut out into the sides of hell, and the inhabitants that inhabit those things. And I go into all this in the book because the scriptures do detail out a very vivid picture of how hell was built and how it was laid out and what it looks like. And I'll tell you, Larry, it's quite frightening when you see the scriptures bringing to light the picture God has of hell in there.
Well, you go into great detail, and I'm glad you do, because there's great detail in the Word of God on page 19 and then also page 20. You have hell, and then it's a big circle, and then on one side is torment. On the other side is Abraham's bosom. So this is all in hell, and then there are two parallel lines, the great gulf, separating the two. And you say, we see from these verses that hell consists of two different compartments. There is one side that the rich man finds himself in, and another side where Lazarus is found. These are two distinct and separate areas in hell. Now, tell us a little bit, did that change after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ? What did the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus do regarding the inhabitants of this place, this big circle called hell?
Well, you're exactly right, Larry. When God initially created hell, he divided it into two sections. One section is Abraham's bosom, or paradise, and the other section was called the place of torment. And there was a great gulf that divided the two, so that if you were placed in Abraham's bosom, you could not cross into the torment side and vice versa. And that's how God originally created hell. And all souls of men went to hell before the cross. And if you were righteous, you went to the paradise side, and the unrighteous went to the place of torment. And when Jesus Christ died, he eventually ended up in the paradise side. And at his resurrection, we are told that when he ascended out of the pit, he took the paradise side with him and all the souls out of hell and took them with him to the third heaven and to heaven where he reigns now. And what a wonderful day that must have been for those souls in paradise to travel with the Lord and be taken out of hell and brought to heaven where they now reside with our Lord and Savior. But the unsaved were left in hell, and they are still in hell, in the torment side. And those who die today will find their residency in the torment side of hell. But yeah, the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed the look of hell, because when he left, he took paradise with him. And oh boy, that must have been a wonderful day for Abraham and David and all the saints of the Old Testament to witness Jesus Christ taking them to the third heaven where paradise resides now.
Well, friends, we'll be right back with our guest, Gary Miller, but let's pause briefly and get our announcer, Jerry, to the mic. Brother Jerry, how may our listeners get hell, God's prison?
They can call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or visit the Internet website at swrc.com. The 148-page book is available for a gift of $15 in the U.S., $18 in Canada. Here again is Brother Larry.
Thank you, Jerry. Let's get back to what we were speaking about with Gary about hell. It's just amazing the depth that you go into, but also the detail that we have in the Word of God. And I realize, as you do as well, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's not a jot or tittle that doesn't belong. You and I well know that God did not give the Word of God just to hear himself speak. He gave it for us. It's profitable. So we certainly need all of these teachings about hell, about the side of torment, the great gulf fixed, as we find in Luke chapter 16, and also paradise. Now, you know, as I'm looking at this passage in Luke 16, 22 and following, where this man cries out and says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever been on a hike when it's over 100 degrees and they run out of water. I have. I don't know if you have. I remember one day in western Oklahoma, I was just wandering around. I like to hike. I was in a wildlife management area, and it was very, very hot, and I just did not have enough water. I did not realize how much water my body needed in those temperatures. The wind was like a blast out of a furnace. It was blowing hard. There was those little dust eddies, and even the birds weren't chirping that day. But you know, this picture here that he may dip the tip of his finger, forget a bottle of water. I just want to lick his finger. That's how bad it is.
Exactly. And you notice in the verse, it says he was tormented in the flame. Hell is not just hot. The rich man found himself in the flame. that tells you the intensity of the torment that takes place there. It's one thing that to have the heat around you, but to be in the flame itself is just a frightening, terrifying experience that takes place in hell for those who are there.
This account in Luke 16 has been, trampled on, reinterpreted, misinterpreted, left out. It's a very, very powerful account where it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment." You know, here we have so many factual statements. It's Abraham's bosom. There's a man by the name of Lazarus. You know, I don't allegorize this. I think some people say, well, it's just kind of some kind of a flight of fancy. I take this very, very seriously. Don't you, Gary?
Yes, I do. I take it literal. When Jesus Christ was talking about hell there in that passage, he was giving us information and insight into the structure and what happens in hell. And there are many people who don't believe that, and unfortunately, it's to their own hurt. Jesus Christ was not making up a fable or lying when he talked about what was taking place in Luke 16 there in hell. And we see the rich man on the edge of the abyss begging for water. And I'll tell you, Larry, those who mock God have that to look forward to in their future, because they will find that hell is real if they die and leave this world in unbelief and in their unrighteousness. And they may not believe it now, but I'll tell you, Larry, they will end up there and experience the same torment that rich man is experiencing in Luke 16.
But so interesting, you know, if we're wrong about this, well, you know, we don't, you know, we're living clean lives. We, you know, avoid immorality and strong drink and, you know, booze and all of that. So even if all of this is just not true, we're really still doing pretty well. But for the atheists, and we have so many of them around today, they're becoming very militant. And the unbelievers, those who shake their fist in God's face, if they are wrong, and there is certainly, you know, if they're intellectually honest, and they claim that they're intellectual, I doubt that, but they claim that they're intellectually honest. Well, if they're really intellectually honest, they have to reckon with the fact that the Bible could very well be true on this point and on every other point, and that if it's true and they're wrong, wow, what a mistake. And you and I well know, Gary, that the man is not as smart as he thinks he is. You know, at one time, I ate a lot of eggs. I love eggs. And at one time they said, oh, that's bad for you. Now they've changed their minds and they said, well, eggs is not really that bad. I like to drink coffee. At one time they said it was bad for you. Now the scientists changed their mind. Hey, we know that we have, to use the philosophical term, we have an epistemological problem. We don't know what we think we know. And the fact that, you know, I would think even the slightest possibility of a millionth of a chance that, you know, that the Bible is right in this should make every person who thinks he's pretty credible and one of the 21st century, you know, computer literate and so on and so forth, every person who doubts this book and does not believe that hell is real, they need to do justice to their own lives, to their own bodies, to their own souls, to check all of this out, because the Bible is true, and you and I know it very well. But I don't want to start preaching here, but this is...
Oh, that's just fine. But there's nothing sweeter than hearing the gospel of the good news being preached, because that's what the world needs.
Absolutely. Amen.
But don't want to leave this world in an unsaved state.
Absolutely. You know, we talk about getting saved. It's a rescue, an unbelievable rescue from the fires of hell. But, Gary, there's some other areas that we want to talk about. Revelation 9, for example, speaks about the bottomless pit. And there arose the smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun of the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Tell us about the bottomless pit. I mean, if the pit were at the center of the earth, it really, we would think, couldn't be bottomless, because you'd come out somewhere. So tell us a little bit about the significance of this statement.
Right. Yeah, the bottomless pit was something that always intrigued me as to where it was. And then I came across passages where it talks about it being in hell and in the center of the earth. And what the bottomless pit means is that if the bottomless pit was at the very center of the earth, you could no more go down, because any point you start to go to from the center of the earth, you'd be going up towards the surface. Therefore, that's why the scriptures call it bottomless, because it's located at the very bottom of the earth. And that's where God put the bottomless pit, and it's in hell itself. And in fact, the bottomless pit is called a great furnace. And that's where you find the brimstone and the fire of God emanating out of this place. And it's a terrible, frightening place. And we know that the scriptures tell us that Satan's going to be incarcerated in his prison, which is the bottomless pit. And it's a terrible, awful place, but its location is given to us in the scriptures.
Well, Gary, this raises a very fundamental question. Who goes to hell?
Well, the scriptures are quite clear. It tells us that all the wicked, in Psalms 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. If you die in an unsaved, unregenerate state today, and Jesus Christ is not, you have not accepted him as your Savior, the scriptures tell you, you will find your place in hell. There is no other place you're going to go. There's no, there's not a second or a third place that God has designed. It's hell itself, and that is quite frightening. So all the wicked today go to hell. When a saved person dies, one who's trusted Jesus Christ and believed on him for their salvation, the scriptures say we go to heaven now and be with him. So there's only two places that a person can go to when they die. It's either heaven or hell. And it's our hope that everybody listening to this program has placed their faith in the wonderful gift of salvation that Jesus Christ has purchased for us. But if you haven't, you will find yourself in hell, because we know the scriptures do not lie.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, we do want to have you back for another broadcast. You've got so much information straight out of the Word of God. Everyone who is listening to our voices needs to get hell, God's prison. Brother Jerry, come to the mic once again and give our listeners the information that they need to get this really important volume.
To get the 148-page book, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, P.O. Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address on the Internet is swrc.com. Hell, God's Prison is offered in appreciation of your $15 contribution in the United States, $18 in Canada. My pastor recently preached a sermon on hell, and he told of a professor at a Christian university in America that was conducting a class on hell. The professor asked the class, all of them pastors, if they had ever preached a sermon on hell. Not one hand was raised. Hell's a subject most people avoid, including men who should be teaching about it. But you don't have to wait for your pastor to give a sermon on hell. Get Gary Paul Miller's book today. And, by the way, you might want to give a copy to your pastor. Get two for a gift of $25 in the U.S., $30 in Canada. Don't miss getting your copy of Hell, God's Prison. Today and tomorrow's programs are on a CD, and you can get them for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 if you live in Canada. Call us at 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The web address is swrc.com. Did you know that hell is not the lake of fire? Brother Gary shares information on that truth, plus lots more. Be listening tomorrow. Stay tuned now for a Bible in the News report over most of these stations. We'll look for you at this time tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program. It's a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. Here with today's report is Carol Rushton.
Terrorists are wreaking chaos and death in Iraq and Syria and starting to move into Jordan and Lebanon. Some commentators are realizing that one of the goals of these terrorists is to reestablish an Islamic caliphate in the Middle East. Most are ignoring the effects this violence is having on the tiniest country in the region, Israel. Rockets and missiles from Syria have been landing on the Golan Heights for the past several months. Israeli troops have traded fire with Syrian troops across the Israeli-Syrian border, as well as being forced to launch occasional airstrikes into Syria as a warning. The latest casualty in the spillover al-Qaeda terrorist war in Syria and Iraq is a 13-year-old Arab boy. The teenager was in a car with his father, who worked for the Israeli government, when a missile hit the car, killing the boy and injuring several others. In retaliation for the attack, Israel again hit multiple targets in Syria. YNetNews.com reported on June 24, 2014, that as a result of the latest attack, Israel is shoring up its defenses on the Syrian border. IDF building suppressive fire posts along the Syrian border reveals, after numerous instances of fire spillover from Syria, IDF is building assault stations in the Golan Heights, suppressive fire posts along the border with Syria that would offer quick response to any attack against Israel. The suppressive fire post, named by the IDF Defensive Canopy, will be built in the 210th Territorial Division that was recently established to secure the border with Syria. While few are against Israel defending itself, many Americans are against the U.S. having any more involvement in the Middle East. I can certainly understand their feelings. So far, U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East has been a complete and total disaster. However, if we don't do something about the terrorist takeover of the Middle East, Americans will be facing far greater repercussions than higher gas prices. Terrorists are never content with staying in their own little corner of the world. They are always hungry to control more and more territory, like the mob, only worse. If you don't believe me, you should believe the head of the ISIS terrorist now operating in Iraq, who told U.S. troops when he was released in 2009, "See you in New York." A new report by the Congressional Research Service confirms terrorists will use Iraq to launch attacks on the U.S. While you may not agree with him, Mark Levin offers one strategy. He says we should bomb the barbarians back into the 6th century, destroying their weapons and infrastructure, and consequently their ability to hurt other countries, including Israel and the U.S. No nation-building, no democracy projects, crush them and then leave. You know, kind of like time out for children. Take away their toys until they can learn to play nicely with the other kids in the neighborhood. Simplistic, maybe, but I think highly effective. God was not a pacifist. He ordered the Israelites to fight the city-states that were occupying the land of Canaan and approved of David attacking Israel's enemies not once but numerous times. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." 2 Samuel 5:19. While not pleasant or fun, we must destroy our enemies before they get the chance to destroy us.
That's today's Bible in the News report of Southwest Radio Ministries. To get a complimentary copy of the monthly publication, call 1-800-652-1144. Be here for our next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report.